Hey guys, quick last minute announcement. This Friday, October 9th, at Terminal 5 in New York City, BBQfilms.com presents The Blood Rave. To be honest, I've never been this excited over a club night in quite some time, being that I've worked in the club industry, blah blah blah. You guys know about that. It's The Blood Rave. They're recreating the scene from Blade, the very beginning. I think we've all, at one point or another, fantasized about living that moment, where, you know, they go to the club and starts raining blood and all this awesome stuff happens. So yeah, Friday, October 9th, The Blood Rave, Terminal 5, New York City. It's part of Comic-Con weekend. Look it up, bbqfilms.com. It's going to be a blast. And I forgot to mention, the Crystal Method's performing. Freaking Crystal freaking Method's going to be there. So check it out. Friday, October 9th, Terminal 5. The Blood Rave with Crystal Method. Come on, guys. Be cool. Show up.
Alright, so I was watching a thing online about this mayor who got jumped from Talladega, Alabama. He got attacked with a sawed-off baseball bat.
Hey, did you know that a sawed-off book is called a Jimmy Stick?
Jimmy hat. Alright, now we're kind of cutting each other off. Alright, so, what's a Jimmy hat?
Jimmy hat, basically,
you put your gym hat.
Yeah.
In the rap community back in the days, it used to refer to as a Jim Bronski. So you
really
have to wear your Jimmy hat.
Really? Jim Bronski? That's what, who knows Jim Bronski?
I don't know. But I know Boogie Down Productions did a song called Jimmy.
I thought that was a Navy thing. Right? Like, Jim Bronski? No, it was in the 1950s. He also remember the Navy. He was called like Jim.
Well, you gotta wear them, man. You don't want your gun to start.
That note. Welcome to another episode of This Is Happening Podcast. I hope you guys are learning a lot about Jimmy. I am your host, Diego Santos. With me always is introduce yourself, Hector.
I am the Middle King, as you may not know.
All right. And today we're also joined by
Rich Ruperto. I'm back again. Wow, thank you, Diego.
We are milking Rich for all he's worth. He owes the mob a lot of money, so they sold him to me.
Do a cheap plug. Deadroad.net. It's a great online zombie horror series that I'm in, directed by the legendary Carlo Gadaletta. It also features V. Thomas Ryan in it. Diego's in it as well. Check it out, Deadroad.net.
Joke's on you. It's really not that cheap. You owe $10 now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, yeah. I'm in it for like one episode. Alright, so Hector, what did you want to talk about today?
I want to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart, something that I think that all the children can understand and relate to. I'm talking about hentai, or as we...
is it really near and dear to your heart?
It is.
Never touched my mic again.
Yeah. Thank you, good night.
In fact, that's my fetish. Things are near and dear to my heart. For those who don't know what that is, that's basically Japanese animated porn. Because I am a chronic masturbator.
Metal King, I just love how your voice is getting lower when you're explaining what it is.
This is like, this is the Metal King, or fucking Barry White.
Oh, yeah. So,
it's on a smooth voice and something about hentai.
So grab the left one.
Jimmy.
Grab yourself a Jimmy hat. Light that fire and put on some Baba Black. And if you haven't vomited by the end of it, remember, you make it
Good times.
Now, what I want to talk about is not so much the actual hentai itself, but more about the hentai culture, because there is one now about in the world. In fact, Japan currently has 3 hentai conventions a year. I'm not 100% sure about that. America has none, but I will sign that petition to get one.
Quick question, Metal King.
Yeah.
How many females can you approximate go to these hentai conventions?
Well, from my last study of it, I read that it's actually 43% women.
Wow.
I'm not kidding.
It would be like 0.0.
Yeah, I was thinking like 3.7%. Wow.
I know, like...
I don't watch that shit, but girls are fucking there.
It's funny, because, I was the same way, and, you know, like, why would a woman want to watch a video of herself getting reamed by, some sort of creature. And it turns out that that's not the case. In fact, I talked to a lot of girls that are really into hentai, and I'm actually in a hentai group on Facebook. And it's like,
does anybody want to switch seats?
Oh, don't worry, it's dirt. I've stained every seat.
Oh,
some of the walls too. And
I think I gave you my pictures.
And I kept them both. And more than, like, not exactly half, but nearly half of them are women. And we, and like, the posts, the pictures they post up are just as dirty as anything that a dude posts up. And so I actually went around asking why women enjoy hentai. And, like, some of them actually find it hot and sexy. Some people say they just like the story, which makes virtually no sense to me. But I remember one occasion I went to Comic-Con. And there was a girl that was dressed as the main character from Bible Black, which is like one of the dirtiest porns out there. I mean, like, this is the kind of shit Ron Jeremy would turn away from. And like, she was like a fan, and she dressed up like the characters. Actually, I've seen several girls dressed up like the characters. And it's kind of crazy. So it turns out that there's a legitimate culture behind this. There's different kinds of hentai that are things you're really into. It's basically like porn. You mean pictures are like, oh, I want something with big tits, or I want something with double penetration. There is something for everybody. Basically, yeah, it is just Japanese animated porn. I'm a fan because, you know, I'm a pervert and a chronic masturbator. And, you know, there are women out there that like it. Like, and that kind of goes for all porn, really. Because you think...
No, I mean, I've seen chicks like porn. That makes sense to me. But yeah. Animated porn,
yeah, but no, like, yeah, it's just okay.
Well, like, you know, if just goes to show you, whatever a man can be into, a woman can be into too.
But Metal King, why do you like hentai?
Why do I like hentai? Because I like vaginas.
He does, but they're anime. They're not really. They're cartoon vaginas.
Hey, I'm not. I like cartoon vaginas.
I mean, like the whole beneath the pig right now is kind of giving me awkward fetish, but. That's Kermit's girlfriend.
Yeah.
But at least she's somewhat flesh and bone. Anime is just drawings on paper. Like, it literally makes no sense to me.
It's a flip book of...
Let me ask you a question.
Vagina.
Let me ask you a question. How many porno magazines have you actually read in your life? Or, like, looked at?
I've seen a few, but I've never paid for any.
Okay. How many porno like, in your youth, how many porno mags have you seen?
A lot.
How many... be honest.
I'm not gonna lie.
How many of you have you, like, wanted... How many times... did you, like, jerk it, or you wanted to fuck one of the chicks on
the magazines? The magazines? No, that's not bad.
Or the video?
Videos, yes.
Okay. Magazines. Video, or how many...
They're humans.
Let me get to my point. Let me get to my point, all right? How many... Now this goes to the mailman over here. how many...
Who's trying to run away, but we're not letting them
leave. Yeah, no, I know. No,
you're here forever. Oh, how many of these women on video or in page have you seen and wanted to bang or at least, you know, jerk off to?
Well, it goes for like any porn chick. That's why you look at them.
Here's my next question. How many of these women have you actually fucked?
Zero.
How many of, and what about you, Diego? These women how many have you actually fucked?
Besides the women, no.
Don't cover the mic.
He covers the mic. Like,
this is a podcast, hey, this is an NPR. What the hell? Answer the question.
Well, I think the fifth.
Yeah, right.
Let him plead the fifth.
Whatever.
Right.
So, none of you have actually banged any of these women.
No.
So, have you actually ever met any of these women?
Well, yes, I have. Well, didn't you meet that old lady?
Yeah.
No, one old lady.
Yeah, I forget her name.
Nina something?
Yeah, but like, until
you... Nina Hartley?
Yeah, I met her.
Wow.
She's actually really nice.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart. Yeah.
Like, I want to take a picture during the con... during the porno convention.
Wait, was like erotica?
We she charged me $5, but I didn't have $5. So I said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. But then when the whole thing was over, she was leaving, she took a picture with me. She's a nice lady. But anyway, I get what you're saying, like cartoons. Your argument isn't that I can't touch them. The argument you're putting up is that to you, cartoons aren't sexy.
No. They aren't.
To me, they are.
No.
To me, they can be. That's the only explanation I can give you. Because, like, look, there's a lot of these porno women you've never fucked. So, theoretically, they don't even exist.
Which I know I'll never fuck.
Exactly.
But
that's a fantasy.
They're real.
I know.
Like,
La Blue Girl is friggin' that's a drawing.
Sorry, like, you know, I can meet a girl who looks like Velma, and, you know.
And I have.
But, you know. You see her, you're like, yeah, I'm gonna squeeze one out to her. But you see Velma the cartoon, like, no, that's a cartoon.
Yeah, it's good. And the cosplayer that was doing Velma in a hot way, right?
Then, yeah, that's happened. That's
yeah. Happen. All right. I'm more of a Daphne guy, but, you know.
My best friend, he tried making me watch something called Legend of the Overfiend,
which is Keith, wasn't it?
Yeah. All right, hold on. All right, So, yeah, my best friend, he tried introducing me to Legend of the Overfiend. He always liked to call it by the Jap name, which is like
Baroka Doji.
Yeah, there you go. Good job, Rich. So I'm not watching that shit. I watched like a few seconds of it. I'm like, nah, brother, I am not my cup of tea. But
I like the hentai anime. I like the hentai manga. I have series that I have particularly a fan of and will seek out from time to time in my own personal use.
Yeah, the only time that I really enjoyed the concept of hentai was basically a play at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater called Neo Tokyo Girl Crush 2020. It's like a live action anime parody play. And which is three girls, they're kind of like Sailor Moon.
I've seen it online.
I have, because I've been looking for it.
You can find it on YouTube, bro.
I've been looking up on YouTube. And well, you know, it's two really hot girls, and then one guy, you know, playing a girl. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's like a nerd. But, you know,
very kabuki beard.
Yeah. So he's like, you know, he's got the playing a nerd girl with the glasses or whatever. And her character gets attacked by raped by a giant tentacle monster. And was the only I remember cracking up over that scene. It was like, as the monster was raping me, and you know, whatever, we fell in love. So I was like, oh my god, this is so hilarious, because we actually kind of saw some of it without the penetration. It was good stuff. Oh, I wish I was still around. Girl Crush 2020, no, Girl Crush 2040, Neo Tokyo, Upside Citizens Brigade Theater. It was one of the best things ever.
Is that theater still around?
The theater is always around. Yeah, that's not going around. But that play was like around 2004 or 2007. Sense of time is terrible.
Memories.
So, do you have anything else to add about hentai, Richie?
You mentioned Legend of the Overfiend, which I have seen. First time I ever saw it, I was like, okay, this is fucking beyond bizarre. And then there was the sequel, which was it Legend of the Demon Wound? Which I got to see the uncensored version, because with Overfiend, I always saw the censored version. With Demon Womb, it was just like craziness, and it was just like, okay, you actually see the tentacle monster penetrating the poor girl. And with the Nazi rape machine, it was just like, that's it. I threw in the towel.
Yep.
And then other than that, what you mentioned, Bible Black, and that stealing thing. The one scene I just remember, I guess, was the school. There's always a school teacher who is in demon form that always seduces her students, be it male or female. In Bible Black, there was one scene where the head demon school teacher was going to seduce this one girl, and she's all naked, and you see her freaking vagina, and all of a sudden, like, bam, a penis just, like, shows out. I'm like, that's it. I'm done.
There's a term for that.
Oh, Jesus.
It's called futanari, and that's basically just means a dick chick. That's a thing.
I guess there's no Japanese term for transvestite.
Which is my biggest fear when I go to Tokyo. I'm not gonna lie, I might get more heat for this, but it's one of the reasons why I do not really indulge Asian females, because like if I'm hanging out with a Puerto Rican, black or white transsexual person, transgender, they're clocked immediately. And I don't care. They're my friends. If they're my friends, they're my friends. You know what I'm saying? But there's nothing going on. But with the Asians, man, I'm like, is that? And if I have to ask that question, it's over. This is not happening.
I hate you.
Just do the crocodile then beat test.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm trying to be balls free.
Except for your own.
Except yes. For my own.
Let's get Steve Earle. Oh my god, it's a beauty in this shit. But I'm fantastic.
Look at the balls of this crocodile.
Alright, let's take a quick commercial break here as we set up for our interview. We'll be right back.
Alright.
Hey guys, quick last minute announcement. This Friday, October 9th, at Terminal 5 in New York City, BBQfilms.com presents The Blood Rave. To be honest, I'm this excited over a club night in quite some time, being that I've worked in the club industry, blah, blah, blah. You guys know about that. It's The Blood Rave. They're recreating the scene from Blade, the very beginning. I think we've all, at one point or another, fantasized about living that moment where, you know, they go to the club and starts raining blood and all this awesome stuff happens. So, yeah, Friday, October 9th. The Blood Rave, Terminal 5, New York City. It's part of Comic-Con weekend. Look it up, bbqfilms.com. It's going to be a blast. And I forgot to mention, the Crystal Method's performing. Freaking Crystal freaking Method's going to be there. So check it out. Friday, October 9th, Terminal 5, The Blood Rave with Crystal Method. Come on, guys. Be cool. Show up. No, but I'm saying, but the cover was like, Freddy's too scared. It's like, it's Angela's birthday party. Yeah. Freddy's too scared. Jason's a wimp. Angela's like the new killer now. I'm like, and I was like, oh shit. Like, I was a little kid when I saw that cover. So I'm like, oh shit, this is fucking scary. This is going to be scary shit.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Demons 2 was Sally's birthday party. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they totally copied.
But you worked, actually, you worked with Tony the Pimp, right?
Yeah. Bobby Rhodes. I got the, you can see my Tony the Pimp video online for free.
Does he live in America?
He lives in Italy. He lives in Rome.
Oh, wow.
Actually, no. Now he lives in the UK. He lives in around London.
How did that come together?
Well, I mean, he lived in Italy all his life. He was raised there.
I'm saying, how did you?
So, what's Bobby Rhodes' real name?
Bobby Rhodes' his real name.
He went to Chiller. Rhodes? Yeah. He went to Chiller. And it was a few years ago when they did the Italian invasion, and they had a few actors from like Fulci films and Dario Argento films, like
and that was the theme of Chiller, was Italian.
No, it was just one room.
Oh, okay.
Doretta Guerrero was there. Ruggiero Diodato was there.
He wasn't in that room. No, it was Umberto Bava, Sergio Stivaletti, Claudio Simonetti from Goblin.
You gotta get him in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, Goblin, they performed like at Webster Hall.
That was a dope show.
That was awesome. But I seen him as Demonia in 2000 at the Cult Con in Tarrytown, New York, a.k.a.
Sleepy Hollow.
Sleepy Hollow.
So, but that's where you met Tony the Pimp. Was that Chiller Theater?
Yeah, I went to Chiller Theater. What happened was, you know, they're all these Italian guys, when they go there, they struggle a little bit with the language, so they have entourage, and they had two guys with him. Both of them were Italian/English, so they were speaking both. And so here I come into the room, and then all of a sudden these guys are like, hey, somebody who speaks Italian. So now all of a sudden they're like, their stiff postures like loosens up. And I was there with my friend Ed, and for like about a good 10 minutes, like, people had just left the room or whatever. It was just me, him, and all these Italian celebrities. For like a good 10 minutes, I was the only one in that room. It was just the perfect moment. So I hit all the tables, like, one after the other, and all of them the same way. Like, they're all, like, really happy to speak to me, and they're always curious. They always want to know where I'm from and where I'm
from. Like, what part of Italy and shit?
Yeah, what part of Italy I'm from. And then when I tell them, they're always, like, they'll always mention something from that place. Oh, yeah, that's where you guys make these things.
It's always food, right?
It's always food related. So I was speaking to them, and those guys were cracking up, because I was, like, throwing a couple of one-liners here and there, just, like, saying, like, little stupid jokes. And they were cracking up, because I guess that they've been there, like, all day, and they were just bored, and, like, here I am entertaining them.
Yeah.
So it's just by a wild coincidence, I mentioned that road, and I happened to have one of the cars with me, but I wasn't really, like, pushing it to advertising. I was just shooting the shit. And just out of a wild coincidence, one of them had seen it.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, that's you? I'm like, yeah, you know, I do that.
Oh, well, one actually saw it?
Wow.
One of them knew it. Yeah, one of them. The guy's, I guess his photographer, that would be him. And he goes, oh, shit. He goes, yeah, I know, I've seen it. And I was like, oh, really? He goes, yeah. And then Bobby and his entourage sort of mentioned, he goes, you know, we're sort of going around, like, we want to, like, just, like, hook up with fans and sort of, like, shoot little scenes and, like, do, like, a little Tony the Pimp revival, like the actual character. He goes, you know, we're going to LA next. He goes, but we're going to pass by New York for like another day, like in 2 weeks we're going to be here. And I was like, dude, I would love to shoot with you. So, and then we sort of left it like that. So like when they left New Jersey to go to LA,
yeah,
I went home and I just like quickly wrote this like one page script.
Yeah.
Like, cause they said, you know, they're doing small sketches. Is that Inferno?
Yeah.
And that was with the Wakeman music in this part, right? That was awesome.
No, Keith Emerson.
Emerson, yeah, sorry. Yeah, that was a great scene when she's going through the building. That's a great soundtrack. But anyway, so, yeah, what happened was I wrote the script while they were in L.A., emailed it to them, and then one of his guy, his main guy, Alex, who's also a director for Mew Films in the U.K., he wrote to me. He goes, he just straight up said, oh, this is hilarious. We should do this. So I was like, all right. So they gave me the date, and they told me where it's at. And then he calls me when they were coming. When they were coming to New York, and he goes, "Oh, we're gonna be at this hotel. You know, meet us there." Blah blah. And then he goes to me. He goes, "Oh, where do you want to shoot the scene?" I'm like, "In the hotel, dude." So he goes, "Oh, really?" He goes, "Yeah, yeah." And so he goes, "All right, cool." I mean, like, I thought it was obvious because the it takes place in a hotel room.
Yeah. I mean, you figure know your weakness or whatever. Know what you're working with.
Yeah. So once I knew that it was a go, the scene had hookers in it. So he goes, "Are you gonna get the actress to play the hookers?" I was like, you know, well, I know one definitely. I'm like, I'm gonna see if she could bring a friend or whatever.
Yeah.
And at the time, I knew this girl who went by the name of Melina Mason, who later became a pretty big porn star.
Is that the one from Dead Road?
Yeah, she's in. Were you there for that shoot?
Was that the one where I was there?
Yeah.
Wait.
The first time you shot with the naked zombie.
Yeah, yeah.
That nobody knows about. So edit that part out. With the chick zombie, cut that part.
Wait, it didn't come to. It's not. It's not on the show because all I remember was
That scene hasn't come up yet. That's in episode 10. All
right.
So you might want to edit that 1 second frame out.
Yeah, they're good. I just remember being blind. I just remember being
blinded by tits.
No, literally blind because this is before I had my LASIK, and you know you made me wear those contacts. So I had to take I don't know if I had to take my contacts out or take off my glasses. So, you know, I'm wearing, you know, the zombie things, and
zombie contacts.
All I see is just fog everywhere, and I just hear you giving directions. Now get on your knees and put it in your mouth. And, you know, my girlfriend at the time was cracking up. I'm like, why? What's so funny? She's like,
yeah, you did have a chick with you.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, he's giving this directions to this naked girl. Like, there's a naked girl? I was like, I'm missing this nudity?
So you actually heard it, put this in your mouth?
Yeah, all I hear is...
I know what you're talking about now that I'm thinking back to it, but, like, it's people at home are going to take that out of context.
Yeah, no, we all took it out of context.
Well, you did because you were blind.
Yeah, my girlfriend did too because she's all laughing about it because she's like, it just sounds so bad because, you know, get on your knees and put it in your mouth.
shoot of freaking Dead Road was animate your mouth.
Yeah, that was Dana.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
she was a zombie with a closed mouth. I was like, no, you should be like, you know, loose or whatever.
Animate your mouth, and then after that,
yeah, because that chick, that entire shoot, she kept bringing up the porn thing, and literally none of us cared. And eventually,
well, yeah, because that was before she was famous, so she was like really, I mean, not a household name, but she did become famous in the scene. But that was when she was even doing it yet. She had quit that Suicide Girls thing that she was doing for a while because they had problems with her. She had her own website.
Yeah.
So she was just doing like her own stuff, like solo stuff online, whatever, or just like chick stuff.
Yeah, that's what she was mentioning. But every time she kept mentioning, she was like, "Yeah, I do porn. Like, it's me, the girl, William Colon, and his girl, and none of us could give a shit." We're like, oh, that's cool.
Well, I think some of the guys cared, but they had their girls with them.
Yeah.
So they had to, like, pretend, like, oh, I'm nonchalant. This happens every day.
Again, so I can put it in the search engine.
Not me. I could literally care less.
Yeah, I got a few of those, actually, and afterwards. Then, what's her name again?
I'm looking up now, but out of curiosity, because, like I said, I don't remember.
Well, now you won't even recognize her.
But she kept saying it over, and eventually I bit. I'm like, oh, really? You do porn? Just to shut her up, because she kept bringing it up, like, 3 or 4 times. I was like, all right, tell your story real quick and we're done. Yeah, cause
no man, she was a total sweetheart because like I don't even remember how I even came across her name, like cause I didn't even know her name like at first. Like I had seen her on a website somewhere where I didn't even know if she did porn or whatever. I just saw that it was I think it might have been related to like Suicide Girls or something like that, but I knew that she was local.
Yeah,
so I contacted her online. And I was asking her, basically, as like, you know, I was interested in doing a scene, whatever. And so, I was, you know, I'm the type of guy who likes to discuss details by phone. So eventually, like, I got her to agree to whatever. Because as soon as she heard the word zombie, she lit up like Christmas.
Yeah.
And that's one good thing about zombies is a lot of people want to do it. So, you know, then I talked to her on the phone, and she was like, you know, oh, am I going to do, like, guts? I'm like, there's definitely going to be guts involved, and blah, blah, blah. And then she was cool. Like, I was like, you know, if you want to do, you know, because basically I needed someone like her because I wanted someone brave who's not going to be afraid to take off her clothes. And she happened to be a pro. So, you know.
And I missed it. But, you know, I was there in the room.
I was there for it.
But I was totally cool with her, and I was like, you know, because I know sometimes they always have to bring someone with them, whatever, and yeah. I was like, yeah, I'll bring your boyfriend. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, and then later on, I was like, have him in the scene, too. I don't care. Like, it's a group photo. It's a group shoot anyway. And so, you know, she really opened up, and she was, like, really nice, and we became friends. And then, like, we even all went out to eat afterwards. We went to a diner at breakfast and shit, and it was fun. She actually still kept all her makeup on.
Yeah.
So we were in the middle of a diner eating. She's got her contacts in and her blood all over her face, yeah, and she's, like, ordering eggs and shit.
Yeah, we were talking about doing it. We're like, let's go.
Bobby Rhodes talked about that scene. He said it was so disgusting. Yeah, we just watched a clip from Demons.
Yeah, because we're talking about, like, you know. Like,
this is a segue to Bobby Rhodes, but we're not there yet.
So while we're talking about, like, you know, while you're setting up a shower, like, let's go to McDonald's and do the Thriller dance. Like, we were joking around doing it, but we never did it. So back to Bobby Rose and his hookers.
Yeah. So what happened is I called. I shot Melina for Dead Road, so we were already friends by then, and then it was like calling her to do a shoot was just like it was real easy because she's like sure, like I'll she wanted to chill with me. So I was like, that's great. I was like, and I was thinking, should I do like multiple hookers or just like keep it simple, just two?
Yeah,
I was like, can you bring one more girl? And like, anyone? She goes, sure, I could get someone. And she gets another chick who went on to become another porn star by the name of Annika Moore, who I don't even know if she's still active, but I know she probably does websites or whatever. So she came down. I didn't know who she was because I hadn't met her yet, and I didn't know the name. But she had, like, texted me some photos. She was like, would this girl work? And I was like, oh, cool, yeah. And also I had her in mind to maybe play another zombie role for, like, a later episode.
Yeah.
Which never happened. But anyway, so she came down. So I had both of them there at the hotel. And Bobby Rhodes hadn't even showed up yet because they were still coming back. And then he called me up. He's like, all right, you got the hookers? I was like, yeah, I got the hookers. I was like, keep in mind that they're not real hookers.
They're
right. He was like, yeah, no, it's cool, it's cool. And this was his entourage talking, not Bobby. Bobby didn't get on the phone. So then, like, you know, he said, all right, we'll do it. Bobby just wants to go up and get changed first. You know, we can chill downstairs. And I was like, fine. And he has a story about that, too.
That shot is awesome.
Yeah, he has a story. He's got interviews where he talks about that online. Yeah, so then basically they gave me, like, I thought that they were going to give me a hard time or whatever, but what I went there, I was going to go with my friend Ed, but he never made it because he had to work or some shit.
Yeah.
So it was just me, my camera, those two girls, and that's it. That's like no other equipment. So then we go, and they straight up, they were like, okay, do your thing. They just left it all up to me.
Yeah.
So, and I was, like, thrilled. I was like, all right, cool. So I was there directing Bobby Rhodes and Mila Mason and Annika through these scenes. And not only that, I also had to coach him a little bit on pronouncing some words because, keep in mind,
he's Italian.
Bobby Rhodes was dubbed in everything he's ever done.
But oh, really?
He speaks with a heavy Italian accent. So his pronunciation of American words is not that good. It's like, you know, he sounds like a foreigner. So, which, you know, it's fine if that's what you need. But if you want him to play an American pimp, it's going to be real difficult. Yeah. So we were sort of playing it off like he's not 100% like American black. Maybe he's like a, you know, maybe he's like a Hispanic mix somewhere, you know, which you would find here.
Hey, just call him Dominican. We got away with that.
Perhaps, yeah, but he didn't have that accent either, so I had to
sort of. Oh, yeah, he was wearing his socks.
So. Yeah. Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, he did have socks, and I'll actually tell you about a funny prank that we played on him during the scene. So what happened was, I had to coach him, especially the line, because the film ends with a punchline.
Yeah,
and it was literally me like saying it for him to mimic. So I would say it and he would copy.
Yeah.
Because if I left him on his own, you know, he had no prior coaching. So, you know, because in a real movie, you'd have an accent coach, somebody to help him.
Yeah.
But this was like done like, okay, go, you know. And then I was all of a sudden like directing this guy. So, yeah, we did the scene and we shot it, and that it was excellent. Like, I got to, like, from 2 weeks later from meeting him, now I'm directing him.
Yeah.
And for me, it was a big deal because I'm a big fan of Lamberto Bava's Demons, and he's a big character in both part one and two.
I'll say he's also in part two.
He's in part two as Hank, the gym instructor. But in part one, he was Tony the Pimp. And I got to recreate Tony the Pimp.
Yeah.
So he went and shot other things with other people too. And my footage ended up in his series as well. But it was edited and produced by somebody else. And it was a lot different. It was a lot happier. It was like... And then they allowed me to have my own cut, on the internet. Yeah, mine is the original cut.
Yeah, that's the one I saw.
And mine has all the nudity in because it's not edited. It's got way completely different angles, music that I made myself. And it's a little more, it comes across a little sleazier, which is the way I intended it to be.
Yeah.
And I think people like it. You know, I've only heard good things about it. Now, you know, that story is pretty much done. But one thing I want to mention is that we pulled a prank on Tony because in the script, nowhere in that script did I mention that there was going to be nudity. I have that shirt. He gave it to me for free.
Nice.
I never mentioned that there was going to be nudity in the script because I wanted to get his reaction.
His natural reaction.
Right. So what I did is while they were shooting, there was a second camera there that was doing some of their own shots. And I said, okay, this is the punchline. In this punchline, put your camera on his face and don't move it. The guy didn't understand why. Like, leave it on his face. Because I had previously told Melina, I'm like, before you do your line, you pull down your shirt and then you do your punchline.
Yeah,
and she did. She was like, "All right, cool." I'm like, "Don't tell anyone. We're gonna see. We might get a funny reaction out of it." And that's exactly what happened. So she does right before she does her line.
A spicy meatball.
Right, yeah, but right before she does the line, he says, "Are you sure about this?" And then she pulls down her top. And she's like, "Does it look like I'm not sure, or does it look like I'm not ready? Whatever." And right, after she does. You have to shoot that like maybe three times. The first time, I didn't see it because my camera was on her, and I just like that, and then like the whole room started cracking. And like everybody was like, "You should have seen the fucking look on his face." He goes, "It was like so much shock and surprise," and we were cracking up for like a good like 5 minutes. It was hilarious. It took us a while to go back to do the second shot, dude. That was like the most. That was like one of the best days I ever had shooting, and it was also the first time that I ever shot anything that didn't involve friends or family.
Yeah,
because it was like, you know, it got to a certain point with Dead Road that people started giving me credibility, and I could go to like actors who've worked on other stuff, not just friends, and I could ask him, and this time they take me seriously. So I've actually done auditions too. Yes. Like for a couple of other actors, and they came, they spent the time, they do the audition, and I actually got to choose between one actor or the other, you know, because at that point, you know, I guess I was somewhat established as someone who can do films, and they gave me they gave me more credibility and more shot.
Yeah, I remember, speaking of demons, where I was DJing at one party, and you showed up wearing a demon shirt, and I've always had this one track that I've never played called Demons, and it's pretty much just, like a remix of the movie Demons with, like, Tony the Pimp cover. Oh, second, yeah. I saw you with that shirt, I'm like, this is gonna be the only time in my life I could play this song and get away with it. And I played it, and you were like, "Hey, I'm wearing the shirt." I'm like, "I know."
Was that at the Pearl Studio
party? Yeah, the Pearl Studio. Yeah.
I remember that. I remember the song, but yeah, I think I do remember the moment that we had there.
Yeah, that song I remember.
Yeah, much. This is part of the B movie what we're watching on the screen, part of that whole B movie exploitation that came out in Italy in the 80s.
Italy. I have to like rebrainwash myself because Tracy Smothers, you know, hanging out with him, saying Italian, it got stuck in my head. That was almost 20 years ago. Holy shit. It's been almost 20 years ago.
Wow. Yeah, you wake up one day and you figure out you're old.
No, I'm still
You're still a young buck?
Yeah. Still, you know, in my shell, sweeting it up.
That's one thing of the 80s right there, painted covers. They don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Some countries still do, like Thailand movie posters, Southeast Asia. Like, they'll still, like, do, like, the painted covers.
Yeah.
But now everybody just does, like, you know, photoshopped images and, you know, stuff like that.
I guess it costs money.
But yeah, that was one of the best experiences I ever had as a filmmaker.
That's crazy. Like I said, Tony the Pimp, the way he died in part two is terrible. Like, I think they ripped his balls.
Yeah, the ball sack.
Yeah, he died from a ball injury.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't kill a good black man that way. It's an insult to his people.
Yeah. Speaking of porn stars whose names we don't know, I'm looking at a photo in my room of some porn star. Actually, can you get there? It's right there by the envelopes.
This?
Yeah. Right by the envelopes.
This.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. This chick. I don't know her name. But we started talking about it at the
last... porn star or just a stripper?
I think she's a porn star. Because we started talking about the last podcast, episode 10, Shows Your Dick.
What's her name? Onyx what?
Something, I don't know. Where Hector had the experience where he signed up for that website and some gay guy started talking to him.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it was at Exotica Pornography Convention here in New Jersey, Edison, New Jersey. Next one will be November 13th. I don't know anything about, like, I mean, obviously I know about pornography, but I don't know anything about stars. So, like an idiot, I bring sand to the beach. Okay, I brought a date to the pornography convention. And this chick is taking all these photos for free because I said, if it's free, we're fucking doing it. So, I took pictures with the girl and she's trying to be all like sexual with me and all. But the second she saw the date, she hit the panic button real quick. She's like, oh you're with her? Guys, enjoy my movie tonight. And I'm just like saying, waving her goodbye. I'm like, I don't know who you are. I didn't learn your name. And I don't know anybody at that convention outside of Tara Patrick and this one elder lady whose name escapes me right now.
Nina Hartley,
yeah.
Good job, Rich.
Yeah.
Wow.
You said elder lady. Who's the only old chick that's in porn?
I don't know. Everyone
his Rolodex. He's wow.
That was like Google porn, like, to the extreme. Like, yeah. Nina Hartley, yeah.
You don't need Google porn.
But nowadays, you can even go to Chiller and freaking meet these porn chicks.
Yeah, but, yeah.
In porn the sad chicks. Room.
Yeah.
What I call the sad room, because nobody goes to them.
Gian Michaels will be in the sad room this year.
But that's the best place to go.
No, it isn't.
It's actually very sad. You walk in there, it's like they look bored, and then nobody wants to go see them. And, you know, it just sucks the life out of you.
The moment you, like, give them any attention, they're like, oh my God!
But that's the point. It's like,
no, it's still sad.
I'm not into, like, the pornography chicks. You know, I'll say something when we turn off the mic. But, But I figure if you are into the pornography, that's the place to go. Because you're just
Exotica
like...
Exotica would be more...
No, but you'd be like... No, because Exotica is full of pornography, and you're all like... They're
full of people, so you figure go to a place where they're left alone.
And then you can have all the time in the world with them. Like, oh, even though I really don't know what to say to pornography stars, but...
what's Ron Jeremy like, you know?
So, how's that dick?
Yeah, so it's like... So, me personally...
You got your fill?
See, me personally, I wouldn't know what to say to the girls, but if you're into the pornography...
You have any Italian in you? Would you like some?
Yeah.
So I figure you just go and hang out. Like, I'll just, like, I might just go. I don't even know these broads, but I'll just go. Be like, oh, hey, what do you do? And then from there, work. But I'm kind of taken right now, so I can't do it. But if I was single.
He said kinda.
He's kinda.
Yeah, no. I mean, we're still. No, I'm not.
Go hang out with Gianna Michaels. Just don't make her laugh.
We're working on it.
Don't make her laugh. She has a terrible laugh.
Oh, that's a turn off for me. Yeah. As I explained to you last week during a wipeout.
It's just, dope. How Jerry Seinfeld was when he was serious.
That's literally all I do is make people laugh.
Oh, then, yeah.
Like we're gonna end on this note. Last night on the PATH train, what should have been a serious incident, people were laughing. I think it was because of me. I'm like, guys, this is a fucking serious incident. This one guy was passed out, and like first he's like leaning on this black chick, and like she's like, excuse me. No, he puts her hand on her thigh, and she's like, excuse me, and she put his hand back on him because he's like trying to touch her and he's like leaning towards her. Now she's mushing his head. Now
I'm doing it on purpose.
And he's pretending he's asleep. So I'm standing and I grab his head and I lean it towards, like, away from him. I'm like, yo, no touching this girl. And after a while, he kind of like tries to put like his leg over. Like he turns, like, put his leg over her. And I was like, all right, motherfucker, you're standing up. So I grabbed him. I picked his head.
By then, she should have just changed seats.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She was just in it.
I think she was just being territorial at this point.
Diego was being Prince Valiant.
So I fucking pick him up. I put it with one arm. I'm able to lock it, and my other forearm around his throat. And I lean him against the door. And I'm like, "Yo, you're not touching this girl. This shenanigans is over." And I was hoping that the door that I had him leaned on was gonna be the one that opened up. Nope, it was the one behind me. So I was like, "Fuck!" So I had to hold this guy.
Flip him.
So I was holding him against this wall here, because he's dead weight right now, and I'm holding him, and I'm like,
so you're not holding him tenderly.
No, and I'm just like, and then people are kind of laughing and whatever. I'm like, if this motherfucker throws up on me, and everyone's laughing at this. I'm like, guys, this guy just started molesting this girl, and I'm like, hold.
See, it would have been funny if the door that you were by opened.
Yeah, that's how I was gonna. That was the plan. That was my plan when I picked him up and threw him against the door. But it was packed. It's the fucking PATH train. That
sucks.
But then when I got to Journal Square, I fucking just let him drop and like on the floor, and I fucking left. The end. Bitches leave.
Bitches leave.
Bitches leave.
Well, all right, and we're back. That was an excellent interview, as always. Today we're going to continue this topic. We're going to talk about cult favorite films or underappreciated cult films.
I'd rather talk about underappreciated cults, like the People's Church, you know, like. I always wonder why they chose Kool-Aid to kill themselves with. You know, every time I think about it, I know it sounds messed up, but I think of like, hell, man, I want to end my life and enter the new space, whatever. But we, this cyanide liquid is so boring.
Oh yeah. You guys want to kill yourself? Well, let's just pour a little bit of that into a little bit of this.
You know, and by the way, second, like, there's always been that two incarnations of the Kool-Aid Man, the one with the pitcher, one without the pitcher. Like, I understand the one with the pitcher, he's pouring into glasses. The one without the pitcher, where the fuck does that Kool-Aid come from, man?
That's my question. Kool-Aid Man. Yeah. Something's left unanswered.
Just lean back your head, kid, and I'll pour my
liquid. Oh, yeah. It's a little sticky, don't worry.
So we're talking about underrated cult classic.
Yeah.
Classics.
Underrated cult classics. Rich, do you have one that you feel like more people should be watching this and more people should be talking about
it? Is that going to come from movies or going to be for TV shows and stuff?
Yeah, TV shows too. Yeah.
Other than a film I just recently saw, Night of the Creeps, my personal favorite cult-type movie would definitely be, most metalheads like it, Return of the Living Dead, which I think is such a cult classic. I'd also throw in Eraserhead by David Lynch, into that mix. Also, The Velvet, which is very cult. But yeah, I would definitely say Return of the Living Dead because it just had a great soundtrack and a great premise.
Great 45.
Yes. Or I'd also throw in Savage Streets, which is a Linda Blair movie, which Linda Blair
was in the 80s. We had that one of our best movie nights. Yeah.
That one was so
saw her in all her muted meanness.
Is it Savage Streets?
Yeah,
and that's the one that they had the opening theme song is the same song from Transformers the movie, where the Sharktacons.
Nothing's gonna stand in our way.
Yeah,
not tonight.
That's also on Savage Streets.
Where they're driving down the street
the girl I'm trying to talk to, like she's into this rapper called Riff Raff.
He's a rapper.
Yeah, apparently. Or something. Riff-raff,
He better be a gift wrapper at the Walmart, because that's the only thing
I don't know what he sounds like, but I know what he looks terrible. Like. All right. So, she kept calling the lead bad guy Riff-raff, and the scene where the lead bad guy, I'm like, pay attention, because she's like, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're drinking, you lose ADD. When they're raping the deaf-blind girl.
Helen Keller.
then the two...
And she wasn't deaf. She was just blind. She was mute.
Yeah, but I don't know.
She could see.
That's see, not blind. I said deaf mute.
You said blind and deaf.
I said deaf mute.
You said deaf and blind. And record.
We're gonna go back, Mister. I had two beers, so I need to be carried home. So
you're carrying them, not me.
So
I'm carrying myself.
The two lead bad guys start making out, and immediately that should have been a sign right there.
Yeah.
When the two lead bad guys start making out, she's like, "Oh, that's my symbol for a she female jizz."
Yeah. Her vagina exploded. Yeah. There you go.
This next crack is called vagina explosion.
So
what's another cult?
Another underappreciated cult classic. I mean, we said this many times.
I got one.
All right, well, quickly. Evil Feed, go back to episode 5, Factor 9, spoke about a lot.
Yeah. One of my severely underrated cult classics, because some people might be good to artsy. Suspiria, I mentioned again.
Great movie.
Great Italian horror movie. It was fun. Soundtrack by Goblin, which is an actual band.
Great band.
Amazing.
Did you see them? Yes, I saw them at Webster Hall.
At the Marlin Room.
Great freaking show.
Did you go to Corrado?
Yeah, yes, I did. Corrado was there. Got to meet the band members, or at least most of the original members, because it was a reunion tour. They hadn't played the States in like almost 30-some-odd years. Well, they never had played the States until about maybe 2 years ago. It's great. Most of the original members were there, exception of the bassist, Fabio Canatelli. But it was great. And they also played some tracks from Suspiria, so there you go.
Like I said, I've never got a chance to see Goblin, but if they ever play again, please let me know. I want to let you. As for TV shows, a show you should be watching if you're not, The Strain. It's great. Glorious. Directed and produced by Guillermo del Toro
and
Chuck Hogan, who did Lost. It's just really, really great. If you like zombie movies, and you like vampire movies, everything you like about those two movies merged into this. It's a great series, and please do yourself a favor and start watching.
Oh, so my current fiance, Samantha Mathis, is in that show. You know, she's a vegetarian, Vampire Brothers movie. I gotta find out she's one in real life, but if she is not in real life, the wedding will go through.
But you brought up,
Diego, this isn't an intervention. It's never gonna happen.
You never know. One day we'll see him walking down the street and Samantha Mathis is holding hand in hand. I'll be like, dude, you're a man. But now we're bringing up like...
Yeah, I have.
Metal King brought up like TV shows, but if we're going to stick to that theme of like cult following, one TV show that's definitely a cult following, one of my all-time favorites is the Chris Elliott show, Get Alive.
Yeah!
Oh my fucking
God.
Thank you! Super hilarious.
They have the episode on YouTube. If you can, please watch it. It's so fucking good.
And they released like maybe like the first 3 or 4 episodes from the first season on DVD, and that was it. But they definitely should put out a box set. Rhino, who I know owns the rights to Get Alive, they should put a box set out. Even though it ran 2 seasons, super fucking hilarious. Chris Elliott and his wacky.
Love Chris Elliott. He's
yeah,
so fucking hilarious.
The show, there was no premise. It was stupid. And it was hilarious.
You know the thing about Get a Life? It was like a live-action cartoon show.
Yeah.
It was very much like a live-action. The weirdest, most balls-to-the-wall stuff would happen.
And they made parodies of everything. I remember one of my all-time favorite episodes of Get a Life is the episode Spewy and Me, which was E.T. parody, which they... Find and his roommate Gus find like this alien. And
he's not his roommate, it's his landlord.
And landlord. Thank you very much, Metal King. They discovered this alien that just secretes this freaking gook.
Or like its elbows.
Yeah, like gook. And it's the most belligerent alien ever. It just beats up on everybody. It's just hilarious.
Here's the thing about that gook, though. There was a scene in that episode where he's like, it dispenses pudding. So he takes a cup
to it.
Sell it
to Bill Cosby.
And
yeah.
Then he started drinking it.
It tastes more like food of the gods, my friend.
Food of the gods. I was cracking up.
Yeah, and then at the end of the episode, like the alien dies, and Gus and Chris eventually eat the alien because it tastes so good. But the alien reforms and is taken back to its home planet, but before it leaves, it just like barfs all that friggin' like gunk.
Yeah, like
this
big little blob of it. Just
but I know that the alien was just like so belligerent to everybody. It wasn't a peaceful alien. It would start attack all classic series.
One of my favorite episodes are scenes like their entire house was quarantined because some fungus started to grow in it, and they started to break. The two of them were broken out, so they had to. So they were quarantined to stay together in that house for like a long period of time. And like, of course, like Gus is the landlord, right? He just wanted to kill Elliot repeatedly. It's just a really good show.
At the very end, they're like, dying. It's like, we'll see you as kid. We're both dying. It was nice knowing you. Like, Gus, you were the drunk and abusive father I've never had.
Yeah.
Like, that was a great line.
You?
Diego, any TV shows that were...
TV shows that I feel like that don't get, or even just TV shows I feel like that doesn't get enough credit, that more people should, like, research and find, either YouTube or buying the DVD or Netflix or whatever, is...
Golden Girls.
Mr. Show.
Yes. Oh, Mr. Show! Another great show. Yes.
Bob and David.
Oh, my God.
It was insane. Made no sense. Yeah. But it was perfect.
It was
a living dream.
It was one of the best sketch comedy shows I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was just... There's two episodes that I saw. Three sketches that, like, just had me in stitches the whole time. Once they had, like... They said they were tired of Adolf Hitler having like bad combinations. So they developed like a company that would make Hitler clones, but they were like really, really subservient. Like,
yeah.
Like, and the line that got me is like, honey, it's time to go to bed. Please put away your Hitler. And like, mom, I don't want to play some more. And like, you see like this Hitler, he doesn't talk. He's just beaten down. His head is hanging. He's like, oh, whatever, kid. And, like, it's pretty fucking hilarious. Another one. Is when they went to visit this kid who,
Titanico, yeah.
Where, like,
yay!
Yeah, he was like, apparently his whole body was dunked in acid. Yeah. And, like, so he's just like this little sausage flailing about. And they're trying, like, to hold him to vomit. Yeah. It's just
freaking. Hey, we got some for you. It's a wristband, but we use it as a belt.
Yay! Yay! Oh, my God.
And then they make the video, do it again.
Try.
Yeah.
Like one episode of Mr. Show I really loved was Congress petitioning to blow up the moon. And that was the whole premise of the whole episode. So finally the moon is blown up and you see like these monkeys in space and they're all happy about it. It's like, yay! It was just like, yeah, that show was just way out there.
One of the things that I love about the episode of the sketch with Titanica, Brian Posehn's in it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Metalhead, yeah. And like he's hilarious.
He's probably
on. Yeah, oh my God. The guy, Brian Wells is fucking hilarious. He's a smart dude.
He's also on Double Rejects.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's one of the guys that gets killed in the hotel.
And also, not only was Brian a writer on Mr. Show, the guy who played SpongeBob script, or does
the voice? Yeah, McKinney.
Yeah.
Was one of the writers on Mr. Show.
In fact, like, McKinney was actually one of my, he was in one of my other sketches. I forget what it was called, how it started, or what it was called, but, like, he was, like, you were giving, like, a set of instructions. And like, if you do this, you gotta do this. He's like, oh, fuck! If your friend says, oh, fuck, just pop it in the VCR. It was just really, really stupid. I like this show because, like, it was just so fucking off the wall. There was scripts, there were premises, but they almost didn't apply. You know, because it was just, like, it just felt like they were ad-libbing everything.
And that's what made it funny.
It was really, really funny. It was hilarious.
Another show, I guess, cult following in that same vein of Mr. Show, another one that person favorites, The Kids in the Hall. I thought that was a great cult following when it was on HBO and then it went to like CBS. Great sketches and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Canada showing that they're not funny-ish, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if any Canadians that are listening to this.
Lousy Canadians.
Lousy Canadians.
Those Canucks.
Damn it.
Those.
And they would even make fun of Canadians too.
Yeah.
Like one episode where Canada abandons the monarchy, so Queen Elizabeth II has to do like a public address, and it's like, if it wasn't for us, you'd be nothing more than Americans. And what love you just for your body? So it's just like, it was a great show, another cult following show. Diego, you got any?
No, but I'm saying, it's not cult following; it's underappreciated.
Very underappreciated. Unappreciated cults.
Yeah,
the French Davidians were very
one of my favorite episodes of Kids in the Hall was there's two. One of them was a sketch where there was this guy who goes into a bar, I forget what it's called, goes into a bar, he throws a drink on this big dude, and he says,
oh, the stay down sketch, yeah.
Yeah, the stay down sketch. And like he keeps getting knocked down, and there was this one scene where the queen's like, hello my dear, this is your queen. And by the end of it, he's like, just barely grabs the glass and he throws it like on his knee.
And the guy's like, all right.
He's like,
he won the battle, but not the war.
Exactly. Yeah. One guy cheating on him. So he was like, talking in a really odd fashion. He's like, gotta have some quick cuts. Oh, hey, can I talk about something that's similar, but a little off that? I want to talk about great shows that were so underappreciated and they got fucking canceled despite being amazingly awesome. And I'm going to start off with Batman Beyond. I want to talk about Batman Beyond. Batman Beyond was a brilliant show, great writing, awesome artwork by Bruce Timm. And I think it was like, what, three seasons? and it got pulled off.
I think it was three seasons.
And I did some research. Apparently, parents were not happy about this show because they were dealing with, let me explain. No. Like, if you know who Bane is, he has this fluid called Venom that it makes him strong. Well, in that future, that Venom was distributed with patches, like the cigarette, like, yeah. So like kids that were like in local slam balls or whatever, they would slap the patches on to increase their strength. Of course, they became addicted to it. And then they saw, like you saw later in the episode, Bane was all like, you know, morose and emaciated. He's like really weak because of this constant abuse of steroids.
Of Venom. Yeah.
So I thought it was kind of like a PSA, or like not to do drugs. But parents were like, oh, they're promoting drug use, blah, 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 blah. And that's what killed them. You know, plus it was a show with really dark tones. And plus its industrial metal soundtrack kind of didn't help it. So people got really, really up in arms about Batman Beyond. But I thought it was a brilliant show. I thought it was a show that was a creature of its own creation. You know, and I could go on and on and on about shows that were so amazing, but they just got canceled because no one really understood the movie.
Yeah, one movie that I feel like it's underappreciated, really underappreciated, I think more people should watch. I think it might be a trauma film. It's kind of like in the vein of Amazon Women Are on the Moon, in the vein of Airplane and those types of movies. It's called When Nature Calls. Like a family, they move from the big city to nature, and it's really funny.
Yes.
And it kind of opens up with like mock trailers, sort of like how Tropic Thunder started.
And or even like Kentucky Fried Movie.
Kentucky Fried Movie, yeah, it's like in that vein. So it's called When Nature Calls. It's free on YouTube. It's like, I believe it's under Troma. It's fine. It's fun. You know, take care with your friends, have some beers, what have you, and watch the movies. Good ones.
Even like, other than your synopsis and style. One that definitely comes to my mind is Children at Play.
Wait. Before you get, I just want to talk about quick, you mentioned Surf Down Season's Die.
Yeah.
There's this one scene in that movie where the mother of the guy who died, the Navy, she like pulls out a revolver, puts it in his mouth and says, "Try some of Mama's home cooking." That was the best line in the movie. I just want to say that. I love that movie so much.
And that's the great thing about with movies like Troma, but Beware Children at Play. Definitely check it out if you're a fan of just like enjoyable.
Yeah.
Beware Children at Play is like definitely a really good one. Another personal favorite of mine, Sergeant Kabuki Man, NYPD.
Yes.
It's hilarious. They filmed that in Hoboken, where I'm from.
Hoboken.
And yeah, just the whole gamut of just movies that Troma has done. Even like Troma War, you can just go through the whole catalog of Troma films. They're all great.
If I'm allowed to talk about one movie from internationally, I forget his name. His name is Mario something. But there was this actor from the 70s that were in a lot of these, like, you know, very bloody, very gory, like Mexican horror, like not Mexican, like westerns. And, like, oh my God, I can't remember his name or any of the movies. You know, I'll have to get back to you.
Which movie? Like, which?
Like, there's this one movie, like, there's this one movie where he's, like, he's crippled. He's on the crutches. And, like, he drives one of the crutches through this guy's chest. You know, and, like, there was even one where we fought aliens. Like, I'd have to get more information, but,
it,
like.
Was it Spanish or Italian?
Yeah, it was from Mexico. Western movie.
You're not referring to Andronovsky?
No. His name is Mario. The actor is called Mario. Mario. I'll have to get back to you. But they called him, his nickname was El Chino. They called him El Chino. And I have to give him, but I just want to talk about, like.
English translation is the Chino.
The Chino, which I just like, watch Mexican westerns. They're a different breed altogether. They are allowed to do this a lot more than I do. Again, the same guy, Mario, I'll have to give you. Like, there's this one movie where his daughter gets, like, raped. So he starts to systematically take down everybody. My favorite way he killed this one guy, had him pinned up against the wall, and he had his old Chevy. And he revved up his car, and he slowly crushed the guy's lower abdomen. The camera pans towards the windshield, and you see his blood spraying all over it. It's awesome. They're awesome with their gore. I will bring back more information whenever I can, but, type in Mario, Mexican Western. Yeah. It's just really, really good stuff.
Yeah, it's my turn. And so,
another. I'm gonna wrap up here with one of my favorite underappreciated cult classics. I think I mentioned Dredd in another podcast.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, Dredd is underappreciated, as well as a movie that's very similar to it. I think more people should check it out. Is The Raid Redemption.
Oh my God! Yes, thank you.
More people need to see that movie.
If you haven't seen The Raid, you're not a man. It's just that simple. Like the first one, like there's already works of a part three coming out very soon. So we have The Raid. Was Raid Redemption was the first one? Right?
Yeah, Raid Redemption. It was The Raid 2.
I love The Raid. I just want to say everything that it should be in a guy movie is in this movie. If you like gunplay, they have that. If you like martial arts, they have that. If the only thing you're missing is like tits. That's the only thing. But considering what you're getting from it, it's just such a good movie. It's the cinematography is pretty good considering it's only done in like this warehouse building. But and despite it being purely an action film, there's some genuinely good acting in here. You know? And then you got the second movie, the Raid movie, which it's good, but here's the thing, the first half is slow. But if you just get past it, what is left behind is pure martial arts goodness. So that's it.
I got one last one, and I'll wrap it up. Another underrated. It's from Australia, called Chopper, has Eric Bana.
Eric Bana, yeah.
A young Eric Bana. He plays the role of Mark Chopper Reed, who is actually a real person. He all kinds of fame for being just like this killer with remorse. And the way Eric Bana plays Chopper is just like, wow. Unbelievable. And just the whole movie itself takes Chopper's life from living in prison to finally being released and then ending up back in prison for what he did. But just the notoriety that what he did to get back into prison makes him like a celebrity in Australia. And just the way Eric Bana plays it, being that he's a killer or like just a thug with like remorse, because there's one scene where he inflicts bodily violence to his girlfriend and his girlfriend's mother, and just after he's done, he's just so remorseful about it, like right there after he's done it, and this line that he says is just brilliant. So definitely check it out. It's called Chopper. I think it came out like in 2004 or 2005. You can definitely find it on like Netflix or Amazon. And that's how I'm going to wrap it up.
I'm going to wrap it up with this. I'm going to mention some movies that are coming out very soon because I don't want them to just become cult classics. I want the whole world to know of them. One movie that I want everyone to know is an Australian horror movie called Babadook that is done in the classic German expressionist style. It's really well done. It's genius. If you're a true horror fan, psychological horror fan, this is the movie you want to check out. It will complete your life. And then you got Eli Roth's Green Inferno that's coming out. I think it's going to be very, very good. And there's The Witch. I forget. Is it just Witch? That's coming out. It looks genius work. It won Best Director at Sundance. And, you know, I'm trying to prevent these from just becoming cult classic. I want them to be true classics that every horror fan can enjoy. That's my final words.
All right. Let me just toss up a series of movies at you. Terror Vision, T-E-R-R-O-R Vision, Terror Vision, is a classic 80s movie that it's not classic, it's a cult, it's a movie that was made,
I think, you know, more people. Movie I love, it's a cute cult classic.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, say it, man.
Say it. Another movie that's a cult classic that I almost forgot before, is The Cube.
Just Cube.
Yeah. It was so genius. Like, the premise was like, these bunch of people were gathered, and they put in like this giant cube that everything is designed to be a death trap. And each room was like a different way of dying.
A good movie. They made a lot of sequels. So
yeah, the original was the best though.
Yeah, so
Cube 2, Hypercube.
Yeah, so but I'm trying to say like movies that not that aren't called classics, movies that should be.
Same. You know.
So Terror Vision is one. DC Cab is a mainstream.
Oh my god!
I feel like that's got lost in time.
Also, Penitentiary, if you want to go the Mr. T route.
Or was it
Tango and Cash?
Tango and Cash, another forgotten classic.
Red Sonja,
really?
Yeah, it's a cult classic.
No, but also, when you said Penitentiary, maybe I'd dig up another one. Like, Reform School Girls.
That's another great
That's one. A fucking classic right there. So, guys.
Death Warrant.
So, guys, whatever movie, like, you know, whatever movie you guys believe should get more attention but have not, you know, drop us a line, let us know. We'll check it out. And, you know, we'll spread the word. So, you know, we let people know. So, this is what podcast is for, you know, spreading information, spreading love, spreading our love of what we love. That's literally the point of this podcast. Yeah, so we're spreading our love. We're spreading our love all over your ears. And with that being said, these guys are racist, right? So, with that being said, bitches leave, this is over.